Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Matthew 6, we're going to look at Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to skip down and look at verses 16 through 18. And we're just going to read them all together here at the beginning. Follow along with me as I read aloud. Be aware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now go on down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen? All right, so here's what's going on in this passage. We have in the midst of it the Lord's Prayer, and we're not going to focus in on that because, frankly, it's just too much to focus in on in addition to these other things. But we have a command of Jesus in verse 1. Beware, pay attention, be careful of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. That's the warning. That is the theme of these verses we're looking at. Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of other people so that they will see you. Then he gives three examples of that actually happening. The first one is when you give in verse 2. The second one is when you pray in verse 5. And the third one is when you fast in verse 16. This does not cover all the bases, but it covers three of the bases that were commonplace for people to actually do these things simply to be seen by other people. So Jesus addresses them. Now, for Jesus to teach like this, he is getting pretty serious at this point. He gives a warning, then he gives three illustrations of what that warning might look like. And he only does that a few other times in the Gospels. One of them is in the lost parables. He tells the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and then the lost son. And those are all together in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus repeats them one after another, and he makes the same point one after another, three times. He is emphasizing what he's saying. In case you didn't get it the first time, maybe you'll get it the second time. In case you didn't get it the second time, maybe you'll get it the third time. So when we see this in Scripture, we say this often here, we need to pay attention. That's what Jesus is doing. He's giving us three examples, so we'll hear it and hear it again. And hopefully listen to it by the end. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to kind of hone in on our first truth piece is this. We're going to hone in on kind of the gist of what Jesus is teaching us. And then we're going to ask how we can live carefully when it comes to this subject of practicing our righteousness in front of others. So our first truth piece is this. It's in your bulletins if you'd like to look there. As we mature spiritually, we will be tempted with self-promotion. Another way we can say that is, as we mature spiritually, we will be tempted with pride. So if you look at chapter 5, and Jesus didn't split these things up in chapters. The words are his, the chapters and verse numbers are ours. It just helps us to separate and to study together. But the first part of Sermon on the Mount is an introduction to the kingdom. And in kind of a 101 of discipleship. Your definition of lust is this. My definition of lust is this. Your definition of anger is this. My definition of anger is this. So it's kind of a 101 for new believers. Then you get through that part of his teaching. And in our Bibles, it's chapter 6. And it's almost as if he is making new believers look to the future. Because if they're new believers, they're going, wow, this is going to take some work of God in my life to live the way Jesus is living. If you're a seasoned believer, you may say, yeah, Jesus has already worked these things out of my heart. And that's where it hits us in the heart. Those of us who have been following Jesus for a while, verse 1 hits us. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. New believers don't have to worry about that. They're just trying to practice righteousness, period. But seasoned believers, we get good at routines. We get good at not doing certain things and doing certain things. And the temptation for a maturing believer is this, to practice righteousness for the praise of men. To practice righteousness and be tempted with self-promotion or pride. So that's where our first truth piece comes in. It's as if Jesus is teaching through this. If it hasn't hit you yet in the heart because you got all your stuff in order so far, then he gives you a warning here. Because if you think that, you're probably already falling into this temptation. As we mature spiritually, we will, no doubt, we will be tempted. Self-promotion. So Jesus assumes this. He doesn't say, some of you will. He gives a blanket warning to everybody that's within earshot. This morning, that blanket warning is for everybody that sits in this room that has surrendered their life to Jesus, has placed faith in Him for the forgiveness of sin. That warning is for all of us. Beware of practicing our righteousness before men. Beware of self-promoting righteousness. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, all these are acts of worship. So whatever your regular acts of worship are, praying, giving, attending worship, doing Bible studies, gathering with your friends to pray, praying for one another, going to Sunday school, getting in your word at home, whatever your acts of worship are, that's where the hinge swings. Who are we doing those things for? Is the question that Jesus is wanting us to ask. We notice when we dive into these passages, look at verse 2. It says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. So notice, there's a trumpet sounded, or they time their giving when the trumpet is sounded in the synagogue so that people will be there and people will see them. Do you see the intentionality in the sin? They do it on purpose. Go down to verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and where? At the street corners. So they position themselves so that they will be seen. Every time. And when you fast, verse 16, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. In other words, when you fast, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be hangry, you're going to be looking rough, but before you step out the front door, wash your face, put on some makeup, do whatever you got to do, fix your hair, take a shower, so that you're not advertising to the world what you're doing in secret. And in every one of these cases, the hypocrites, as Jesus says, are putting themselves in a position so that they will be seen. Now, I'm sure for some of them, they were doing it on purpose, like they arranged their day around it. But I think for others, I think they probably thought that was part of their worship, was that they needed people to see them to give legitimacy to what they were doing. In other words, if so-and-so didn't approve of my giving, then maybe it's not exactly what I'm supposed to do. So I need so-and-so to see me when I do this so that I can have so-and-so's approval in my worship. And Jesus' command is, beware of that. Do these things in secret. So our most common definition of hypocrite is this, right? Somebody that comes to church and they say one thing at church and then they leave and they do another, right? They act the fool out in public and then they act another way at church. That's our usual definition of hypocrite. And I would say that's an accurate definition of hypocrite. Jesus gives us another definition of a hypocrite here. Someone who is righteous by all the standards on the outside, 24/7, living a righteous life. But in their heart, they're not living their righteous life for the glory of God. They're doing it for the praise of men. Jesus calls that person a hypocrite. In other words, they're pretending that their righteousness is for God, but it's actually for themselves. They're pretending that they're doing this to lead other people to pay attention to God, but they're actually leading other people to pay attention to themselves. Okay? Have you seen that before? We do. We see it often, unfortunately. Not just in the church, but in other spheres. Anytime we see somebody like stand in front of others or be around a small group of people, and every time they open their mouth, all the attention, all the words are about them, right? So we see it. We recognize it. And Jesus makes this assumption, not just about those people that we're thinking about in our minds right now, but about us. That we will be tempted to live this way. So I want you to think about it before we move on to our other truth pieces this morning. I think there's two different kinds of self-promotion when it comes to following Jesus. There's what I would call a public glory thief. In other words, the person who likes to be up in front of people, who likes everybody to pay attention to them, who likes to turn everybody's attention to them, what they do, what they don't do, who likes that kind of praise. The public glory thief. And the reason I'm saying that is because they're stealing glory from who? God, yeah. So the public glory thief, that's the easiest one to identify. It's also the easiest one to go, that's not me. I don't even like to be in front of people, right? The other one is what I would call the personal glory thief. And here's the one that I think is going to hit more of our hearts today than the public glory thief. The personal glory thief doesn't really care what the masses think. They care what that person thinks or that group of people think. So they make decisions about their worship, about their giving, about their going to church, about their prayer life, about their serving others through the church, all those things. They make those decisions through the lens of whether that person or those people will approve. And the glory winds up going to them in front of those people instead of God. And sometimes we teach people to live like that in the church. We teach people to live for our approval rather than the Lord's approval. And let me just say, if that's been your church experience, you come into church as a new believer, as someone that is searching at some point in your life, and your church experience has been to please these people, I'm sorry. That is not what church is supposed to be. We should continually be pointing each other, what does the Lord want you to do? What does the Word say? How does the Word lead you in this subject? Not, here's what I think you should do. And I think you're wrong if you don't do it this way. When we speak of the subject of hypocrites, when it comes to that, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable, doesn't it? In fact, it taps into the same thing we were speaking of last week, trying to please people. So instead of telling the truth, we pillow the truth. Or we just tell them a flat out lie because we just want them to be happy in the moment, right? It's the same urge. I want to please that person. So before I figure out what the Lord wants me to do, I want to figure out what he or she or they want me to do. And Jesus is teaching us, hear the warning, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, whether it's the masses or it's just one, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. It's dangerous, isn't it? It's dangerous. So as we mature spiritually, we need to recognize this in our own hearts. Christians, we need to recognize this. New Christian, seasoned Christian, we all need to recognize this. We will be tempted in this way. The question is whether or not we recognize it and what do we do about it. And that brings us to our second truth piece this morning. So we recognize that temptation and what do we do about it? Well, first, we remember our purpose in worship. So in every case, our attention is in one of two places. Is when we worship, when we sing to the Lord, when we give to the Lord, when we serve others on behalf of the Lord, when we get in His Word, our attention is in one of two places. It is either on the Lord or it's on the people that we're trying to get praise from. One or the other. Giving to the needy, the hypocrite's attention was on the people he was trying to attract. Same with praying, same with fasting. So one of the things we need to do, we must remember our purpose in worship. So look at this. Verses 3 and 4 in chapter 6. Read with me. But when you give, this is Jesus' direction. All right, so here's the temptation. Then he gives us direction to help us with this temptation. He says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. So, what do we do? Does this mean that, is Jesus' advice to simply do this for him and only do it when we have the opportunity to do it in secret? He says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's not why we have offering plates. Left hand can't see over. You right? Sympathy laugh. I appreciate it. Okay. But what do we do? I mean, that is a hard call. And in earlier in chapter 5, if you'll look at chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus tells us something that seems like it contradicts with chapter 6. In the same way, let your light shine before others. But he tells us why he's doing this. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? God, your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says, don't let your right hand know what or your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I guess for lefties, it'd be don't let your left hand know what, or your right hand know what your left hand is doing. The idea here is to keep our purpose in worship forefront on our minds, and that is to glorify God. Why did we come to church today? To glorify God with our song. Why did we come to church today? To be encouraged in our walk so that Monday through Saturday, hopefully we can live a little bit more like Jesus. Why did we come in church today? So that we can fellowship and be encouraged by one another. All for the glory of God. You can ask that question for any number of things. Why am I praying? Why am I reading my Bible? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And if the first answer isn't for God's glory, a red flag should come up that something's wrong in our heart, that we're yearning for people's praise, not the Lord's glory. Verse 5, on the subject of prayer, he says that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to who? Your Father who is in secret. So there's the purpose. Going down to verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. So the purpose of our worship is to glorify God, to be seen by God, so that others may see Him and glorify Him too. The purpose of the hypocrite's worship is to draw attention to him or herself. Our purpose in worship is to draw attention to God so that our good works may be seen and they may give glory to Him. We used this a few weeks ago when we were in chapter 5, verse 16. We said, we season a steak with salt. And perhaps some of you steak connoisseurs may season it with a bunch of other stuff too. But when your guests eat the steak, they're not like, man, that is some good salt, right? They say, that's a good steak. The salt was the seasoning. We are the seasoning in this equation. They see us, they taste our lives, and they say, man, God is good. The same way, we see a sunset, and we see a beautiful display of colors. We give the sky glory, but the sunset is happening because of the sun's light. We don't say, man, that sun sure is beautiful. We may talk about the sun when we talk about the sunset, but what we're paying attention to, what we are so mesmerized by, is the sky, the display of colors that the sun causes. So in the same way, people see our good works and they should say, man, that is a beautiful sunset. That is a glorious God. Not, man, those people, man, they're great. But God is great. That is the purpose of our worship. So anytime in our decision-making, when it comes to worship, in our heart, in our prayer life, in our Bible study, in our serving others, why? Is it because so-and-so wants you to and you want to get them off your back? Or you feel the need to please him or her or those people? Or is it because you want other people to glorify God and you want to glorify him yourself? Why? So let me ask you a question, just so far. Do you see our tendency to steal God's glory? Do you see our tendency to be glory thieves? I see it in my heart. It's been a hard week studying this. I see it in my heart. It's glaringly obvious. What else do? We recognize our purpose in worship and we do what Jesus says. Finally, we must look forward to our reward from our Father. So how else do we battle this temptation in our heart? We look forward to our reward from our Father. Look at what Jesus says. End of verse 2, he says, truly I say to you, speaking of the hypocrites, they have received their reward. In other words, past tense, it's already, they've got it. What they worked for, what they arranged for on the street corners at the timing of the trumpets so that people would see them, when it happened and they got the attention of people, that was their reward. They've already got it. But keep reading. Jesus says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. And notice, it is a future tense. There's a reward coming for those who worship the Lord for His glory. For those who go through acts of worship for their own glory, receive their reward right then. Look, he continues to say this over and over again, three times. Verse 6, but when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, it's a difference between instant gratification. I want my reward, my attention, my glory now. I want the pat on the back from whoever I can get it from now. The difference between that and I know that when I obey my Lord, I may not always get praise from people. We may. That's not a bad thing. But we may not always get praise from people, and that's okay, because we know, Jesus guarantees it 3 times, we will be rewarded by our Father who is in heaven. So, Christian, if you felt a little bit like me this week and going, man, like, I know this is a temptation for me. You ask the question, how can I battle this temptation in my life? And the answer is simple. Weigh the two rewards. We can perform for men and we'll get our reward here and now. And it's fleeting and it's temporary and it's not even guaranteed. Or we can do what we do for the glory of God. And we will know that we will receive a reward from Him. And I'm not speaking of salvation. Our salvation is sure, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross and simply placing faith in Him. I'm talking about a different reward. So we can ask what that reward is. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable, the parable of the tenants. He tells a couple of different ones. The second one He tells in Matthew 25 is the parable of tenants. There's 3 men, and their master gives one of them 1 talent, another one 2 talents, and another one 5 talents. The one with 1 talent is fearful of his master, so he goes and buries it, so when he comes back, he can for sure, beyond a shadow of doubt, return that 1 talent. The other 2 men, the one with 2 talents and the one with 5 talents, take their talents, invest them, and when the master returns, the man with 2 talents gives his master back 4. The man with 5 gives his master back 10. His master says this to both of those men. He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." You see, I think for every one of us in this room and every one of us outside the room, there is a need for those words in our hearts from the Lord. There's a need for us to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And what we're trying to feel when we worship for men and their praise is we're trying to get that from them when we're guaranteed it from our Father in heaven. The attention and the pat on the back, job well done, is coming if we will be faithful to serve Him. Jesus motivates His people to do good for His glory because we have a reward coming from the King of Kings. Approval coming from the Lord of Lords. Job well done coming from God Almighty. If your heart is bent towards trying to please people in your life when it comes to your worship, weigh it. Weigh it now. If the Lord's leading you differently than the ways that they are wanting you to go, weigh the rewards now. Because here's the bottom line. For some of us who sit here today as Christians, we are working for each other's approval. We come to church for each other's approval. We do all the things we do when it comes to serving the Lord for each other's approval. And if that is us today, if that is any one person today, the call, the correct response to these words from Jesus today is to repent. Is to say,
Lord, I'm sorry. I've gotten it wrong. I want to walk and talk and worship for the rewards you have for me and for your name's sake, not mine. I'm sorry. And know, gladly know that if that is you or me today, when we do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us. His grace is greater than all of our sin. So repent if you need to. If this has been your church experience, I'm sorry. That is not how it's supposed to be. And I pray, and there's others here that pray that that is not what it would be here. So know that if you've been hesitant to place your faith in Jesus because of this, that is not how Jesus designed it to be. And He is worthy of your trust and able to save and ready to forgive you. So you can place your faith in Him today. If you're here and you're free from that, like the Lord rooted that out of your heart a long time ago, you can praise Him for that, and you can pray for our church that we would live this way for His reward. We would be a people that live as salt and light, drawing people's attention to God the Father. What a pleasure it is to be there and to have that calling on our lives. Maybe the response for you today is repent. Maybe the response today for you as a Christian is just to praise Him and sing to Him and pray for your church family. Maybe the response today is for you to give your life to Jesus because you recognize that you can't live the righteous life that you need to, but He lived it for you, and you recognize that you can't pay the price for your sin, but He has. And you recognize today because of His resurrection, He's alive and you can trust Him, and you should. That's you today. The proper response is not to get all this other stuff straight. The proper response is just to simply give your life to Him. And we'd love to walk you through that today. However the Lord's leading you to respond today, I want to encourage you to follow the Spirit and respond. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for working among us. We pray that You would continue to do that over the next few moments and even as we leave today. Lord, make us into a people who worship, who serve, who pray, who give, who fast, not for the attention of others, not for the attention of one another, but for Your glory, so that others may give You glory. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Tell the world of the treasure you found.